it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It's November 2nd.
It's Friday.
Yes, it is.
So I've been in like a big sugar binge all week. Thank you, Halloween.
Really?
Thank you, Halloween. Oh, yeah, I forgot I wanted to like say this. This is like my little blonde moment. Mm-hmm. Actually, a big blonde
You get
moment.
Those sometimes?
Shut up.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, occasionally, yes. Occasionally, I have Jessica Simpson moments. But that's okay. It's funny and it's allowed.
Yeah.
But I will say that I didn't know that fudge was icing. It was my new discovery that I found out. So I was really excited. I went to like Knott's Scary Farm the other day, and there's like this big candy shop. And I went in, and you know, I'm like looking at everything and just like googly-eyed, staring, like, what do I want? I want a candy apple. Like, that's what I want. And then I tried this like red velvet fudge thing. Like,
right.
It was so good. And I tried it, and it was like so orgasmic in my mouth that like the whole store was looking around at me, and it was like, no, I'm not kidding. I like talked the whole store people into like trying it because it was so good. I was like, this is so amazing. And they're like, how would one describe it? I'm like, one would describe it as taking a tub of icing. I just choked my own spit. And stick as I'm eating. I was eating cookies. And sticking it in the freezer. And you know when you like take icing out of the freezer or the refrigerator? Right. I don't know if you've done it, but I've done it. And it's amazeballs. Mm. That's what it tastes like. And I was like, and they're like, that's a great description. So meanwhile, I'm eating this fudge all week long, last piece yesterday. And I like felt guilty at the very end, and I tasted it, and then I spit it out because I was like, I don't need the calories. And I'm like, that's retarded. I ate the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Why would I do that? But anyway, it was like a mental thing. So I was curious what was exactly in fudge. Because, you know, there's all kinds of different kinds of, like, all kinds of different kinds. By the way, I'm hungover, or I'm, like, think I'm still drunk a little bit.
Really?
So don't mind me.
You had a wild night?
Yes.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Very good wild night.
All very right.
Fun. Anyway, I don't know, I'm not done my binge. So, my sugar binge.
Do you usually stay away from sugar? I mean, to put it in perspective.
I like sugar.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And it likes me.
Right. But do you eat a lot of it or do you stay away from it?
Okay, I will say that I'm as healthy as I can be. Mm. I have to, and it's like a mental thing. I have to have a piece of sugar at the end of every meal. It could be anything. And like, I need just a little bit of sugar. And
yeah.
I'm good. It could be one M&M. That's
right.
Fine. It suffices. I just need to end it with like a sweetness.
Okay.
But I went overboard this week. I actually was like, oh my God, what if I get diabetes? What if I diabetetize myself? That's a word, by the way. Diabetetize. I'm saying right now. Anyway.
You should go back to bed.
I have more cookies in front of me, which is really great. But they're gluten free, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Anyways. So I looked it up, and I was like, no way. Well, no wonder the damn freaking fudge tastes like icing. It is icing.
Yeah.
It is icing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was very upset because I was like, oh, my gosh. Throughout the years, my dad gets all excited about certain, like, types of expensive fudge, like, you know? And I would go out of my mind trying to find him really good fudge. Mm. And all along, it's icing.
Yeah.
So all I had to do all along was go to Ralph's. Buy a damn tub of chocolate icing, smush it together, make it look like a square fudge, stick it in the freezer for a night, and it's fudge.
And then it'd be solid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would never know the difference. I think I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Sounds
it's the same
good.
Damn thing.
That's true.
For those of you who didn't know that out there, because, I mean, call it a blind moment, but I didn't know that.
Mm. No,
did
I
know
didn't
that?
Either. I think most
it's
people don't.
It's the same ingredient.
It is.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, well, you know, this works both ways. So then if I just make a bunch of them in the freezer, I can just melt it down when I have time for a birthday cake. Just,
right.
You know, get the fudge out and put it in the microwave.
Right.
Slap it on. Anyway. I'm saying
okay,
right now.
So now you know where fudge comes from.
Yeah. That kind of fudge. Otherwise. really retarded shit. But the coffee shop across the street is amazing. Yeah. And they, remember I was telling you about cookies that were like crack the other day? Yeah, I bought more crack cookies.
Really?
Yes. And
they give you energy or what?
No, they're just so good. I can't stop eating them.
Oh, okay.
And this is not good because I'm doing a bikini fashion show on Friday.
Yeah.
So this is, this, yeah, this has to
you
stop.
You gotta watch yourself.
This is like the last day. The last day of Halloween-y. You know, no more.
No more sugar.
No, tomorrow I'm starting the cleanse. Master cleanse starts for 1 week tomorrow. And I can do it because I did it for Halloween.
Yeah.
So anyway, but these are called the Good Cookies and Beyond. And if no one has tried it, they need to get these, thegoodcookies.com. They're like so amazing. And they're gluten-free and like they, but they don't taste like it. Mm. It tastes like amazingness in your mouth. And it's really hard to find gluten-free cookies that are so good.
Oh, really?
But they really, I think they might have crack in them. I'm not kidding.
Okay, maybe they do.
But the good thing about it...
How much do they cost? You can tell by that.
$5.
Okay, it's crack.
Totally. It really is. But they also have, the last ones that I got were green. Mm. They have chlorophyll in them. So it's like kind of healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess.
I think so. I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, cool. Do you have any good plans for the weekend? Any big plans?
I am going to chill because it's been a while since I've chilled.
Since you've chilled.
Yes.
So you need to mellow out a little bit, slow down.
Yep.
Take it easy on your foot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed
good
to get an MRI today and that didn't happen.
No.
I'm not going anywhere. No.
Sounds good. Well, you
but,
know.
Yeah, are you doing anything for the weekend?
No, I never do. You should know that.
Well, no, I never do.
Yeah, even when I went to the Harley thing last week, I didn't even get on the bike.
I know. Well, this is something that we need to, like I said, you just need to just go and do it. Just go and do it. Like,
oh, no, I will. But, I mean, it just like I did it half-assed, you know. But
Because you were a guy and you were worried what people thought.
That's true.
Who cares what people think?
That's true.
I don't care.
Yeah, especially this older man that was handling this. You know, couldn't care less.
For those of you who weren't listening.
But I said I had ridden because
Sam told everyone he knew how to ride a motorcycle. And he does not know how to ride a motorcycle. So Sam's ego was talking a little bit. And he was like, I'm a man. I can figure it out.
That's right.
And he went to get on it. And he's like, oh, shit balls. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing.
That was a trike. It wasn't
and
even
I
a motorcycle.
And I don't want to be Bridgetta who totaled the motorcycle.
Right.
So, therefore, I'm not going to go back and tell him, I'm just kidding. Right. Show me what I'm doing. I would have been like, I thought I did, but clearly I don't. And I think that was in another lifetime, so you might want to show me again now.
That's true.
And
it was a trike.
Do.
I could have told him. But he said it's just like a bike, so I said, okay.
A trike is like an ATV.
Right.
That's all.
Well, yeah, but he said everything is like a motorcycle, you know, as far as the gears and the brakes.
Very much so, but you can't flip those.
Right.
Unless you're really retarded.
Right.
Actually, that's not true. I flipped one in Mexico.
But I just didn't want to...
Forgetting this. This was in July.
Yeah.
But this was being... This was not a very good. Don't follow me.
Yeah. Nobody will.
That I do. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, who cares what people think? Like, if you go around living your life what everyone thinks, are you ever going to have any joy and discover new things?
You're right.
No.
You're right.
You know? Like, this is my motto. This has been my motto since I was in eighth grade, and I'm sticking to this. Because I remember being eighth grade, we took a trip, we were in New York, and we were on a huge boat, like a huge boat. And I decided that my brilliant idea, I wanted to drive the boat. Do I have a boat license? No. Have I ever driven a boat before? Absolutely not.
Right.
But I wanted to drive the boat, and I was going to do it. And we're on a boat with 300 people. Like, they're going to let me do it. Everyone's like, you're an idiot. They're not going to let you. And I go, well, you'll never know unless you ask, right? So what did I do? Marched myself right down to the captain's quarters, knocked on the door, and I said, I want to drive the boat. And he was like, looks at me a little bit crazy, and he's like, I'm like, come on, let me drive the boat. Just show me what to do. And he let me drive the boat.
Wow.
And I got in, and the coolest thing was it was all glass, so everyone could see that I was in there, and they could see what I was doing. And they were like, oh, my God, she actually did it. Oh, my God, Bridgetta's driving the boat. Oh, shit, Bridgetta's driving the boat.
Wow.
It got really crazy because it was around the Statue of Liberty, and we had to go through, like, under this bridge.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I can do this. I can totally do this. This will be fine. And, yeah, it was really awesome.
Good.
But so from that day on, like, everyone, and there was, like, hundreds of people that, you can't do it. Oh, my God, you're not going to do this. And my whole life, every time someone said, you can't do it, and I did it, I always got it.
Right.
Like, the same thing, like, when I did the Britney Spears thing, everyone was like, you'll never get it. There's thousands of people trying out, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
They only chose 10. I got chosen. Suck it.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, who cares what people think? And who cares? Like, so what?
Yeah.
So?
Makes live your sense. Life. Okay, that's a lesson.
Because you never know if tomorrow is your day to die.
That's true.
And then when you, not that you care when you rise up, but if you did care and you looked back, I could say that I've lived a good life. Yes, I have. I've done the stupidest things ever, and it's been fun.
That's true.
I've learned a lot of lessons, but they were fun.
Right.
So, therefore, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Live that way.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to start going for the things I want. After the things I want. We'll start with the Harley trike.
Yes. Go back there and go to the same guy and be like, I don't even remember you.
Yeah.
Just be like, dude, get me on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well,
enough of the retarded,
enough of that.
Stupid rants that I'm going on for no reason.
Well, you invited a special guest to the studio, so why don't you go ahead and introduce her to
us? Yes, she's amazing. Very talented artist as well, but an incredible shamanic healer. So we have Jan Zoya in here in the studio.
Welcome, Jan.
And thank you.
Yeah, and there's been this, I've told everybody about you. Oh my God, you have to get a healing by her, blah, blah, blah. So like everyone's really excited to hear about this today. Because there's been so many people that are like, oh, I'm going to listen in for it, so... Yay.
Yeah, you'll have to get closer to the mic, remember.
Okay.
So, well, let's start at the beginning. Are you originally from L.A. or did you move here from somewhere else?
My family moved here when I was 12. I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. See, nobody's born here, you know. Everybody comes here from somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm from Maryland.
Yes, you are.
We're like neighbors, sort of.
So you grew up there in Pennsylvania, right. And your parents moved here. What was the reason they moved?
My dad moved here. He was a minister. He moved here for a job.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So you grew up, what, in a strict family? A very strict family?
I didn't consider it strict. I kind of did what I wanted, but I lived in my own little world. So.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, do they know, like, I mean, do they, because, like, obviously they're... I know, my other friends were like religious families. Are they open to you being spiritual and like doing what you're doing? Or?
My mom is very much, yeah. She's very interested. I didn't talk about it when I was a kid. I kept my gifts to myself.
Really?
I figured out pretty early on that people didn't get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you felt you had a gift. I didn't view it that way.
I just knew I was different. I just knew my perceptions seemed to be different than other people's.
And when did that start? At what age?
I'd say probably when I started school.
Oh, really?
I figured it out. Yeah.
Like 6 years old?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
Just little things.
So what was happening?
Bridgette to understand.
Yeah, I totally
understand. Well, I don't, so.
I was the weird, listening. I was the odd one out, too. I was so shy.
Yeah.
I totally, like, I didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't understand. Like, I just thought, like, why can't you see that person right there?
Right.
Like, right there. Why? You can't see it? What's wrong with you? And then, like, everyone's like, you're weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I'm not weird. It's right. Okay. There's nothing there.
Right. Fine. You learn to just keep it to yourself.
You just shut up. Yeah.
So what was happening? I mean, what made you decide or feel that you were different? And, I mean, what was going on through your head in your life?
I think just like Bridgette said, things that I could see or... perceive that other people around me didn't perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would try to talk to people about it, they'd give me blank stares or be a little bit afraid freaked out. So I just...
Yeah, and that's pretty scary for a kid. I mean, you want to be accepted and treated normally. And people look at you funny, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Wow. So you were seeing things? You were seeing people or what?
No, I didn't... No? I wasn't seeing ghosts for me. It's a little trickier to understand. For me, it was more that a feeling.
Yeah.
I could go inside myself and understand things. If I needed knowledge about something, information, I knew I could drop down inside and find it. It's just strange.
Wow.
Things.
So it's more like feelings.
No, but I totally understand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to explain it to us in layman's terms because we don't know.
Yeah. It's like, and I'm finding more and more recently, and I think it's been like with this healing and with also like the work that I've been doing, I tune in and out. Like I know things sometimes, and then other times I'm like, oh, and I go through spurts of like knowing things before they happen and then not, and like premonitions.
Right.
And then I'm like, is that really a premonition? And then I start second guessing myself. So then I'm like, oh, I don't know. But it's like right now I've been way more in tune. Like I have been predicting a lot of my friends' stuff and I'm like, cool.
Cool.
Yeah. But I mean, you go through like spurts of it, I guess. And she's like way more in tune than I am. So, yeah.
Well, you've had a chance to develop it, right?
Right. I'd say to answer your earlier question, when I was a kid, the way I perceived it, it was like sticking my face under the water and being, you know how when you're looking above the water, you just see glare, but when you stick your face under the water, you can see everything. It felt like that.
Yeah. Oh.
Felt like I could stick my face through the veil and step outside of time. And I don't know how else. That was the best way I could describe it.
Right.
You know what? Have you watched Harry Potter?
It's part of it.
Okay, this just gave me like... Do you remember when Harry went to go inside... I have to go to Harry Potter.
Yeah, I love Harry Potter.
Harry went to go inside the castle. It was like Dumbledore's room. And there was a water bowl. And he literally stuck his face in it. And he could see... He went to the other side. And he could see everything that was going to happen. And like everything that happened in the past. And what was going to happen in the future.
Really?
It's like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
The pensive
bowl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like that. Harry Potter, thank you.
No, I understand why religious people don't like it. It sounds
it's a whole other thing. I'm not going to go into the religious thing.
That's okay.
I'll go into the rant another day.
So your dad was pretty religious and stuff at home. And, I mean, did your parents notice there's something different about
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom for sure did. She would. Yeah. She was very accepting, though. She didn't say much, but she listened to everything. And it did scare her at one point when I was 7. I remember her asking me, grabbing me by the shoulders and saying, "Who are you? Where are you from?"
Oh, my God.
And that scared me. That's really when I stopped talking about it.
Yeah, wow.
I didn't want to scare my mother.
They'll stay with you for the rest of your life,
yeah.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah.
And but your father wasn't in tune with this?
You know, I don't know that he paid that much attention. He was more connected to my art because he was very artistic.
Mm.
So he was very interested in my artistic
Okay,
abilities.
So tell us about that. Did you develop artistic abilities early on?
I fell in love with it early on. From the time I could hold a pencil, I was drawing all the time.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. I know, I used to love to draw. In fact, I have a book waiting for me outside on cartooning.
Oh, cool.
And comics, because I want to get into that. I want to do cartoons of exaggerated faces and things like that.
Yeah.
So I've always loved to draw, so I can relate to that, you know? I mean, it's sort of like a thing that you just do, you know?
It's so interesting, because like, I've been doing that forever, too, but I'm such a perfectionist that I can't, I get mad at me. I destroy it. Like, it'd be like, I could be completely finished except for this corner, and if it's not right, I will rip the whole thing apart. And and then I just, it's weird because I actually stopped doing art for years. I don't, I would self-destruct the art. It was really, so I found that I didn't like doing people. And I like doing, like, nature because it doesn't have to be perfect.
Right,
it's like it's
true.
In its own thing. So it was really weird. I don't know where that came from. Anyway.
No, I understand. That was the biggest learning curve for me, was learning not to be a perfectionist with it and just not judge myself, not judge the artwork, just keep going. Mm-hmm. Just play. Just play with it.
Yeah. That's what art is, I think. You know, it's not, you don't do it hoping that people will like it. You do it because that's what's coming out of you.
Right.
It's
and
true.
Hopefully people will like it.
See, and this is why when I was younger, I smoked weed and did a lot of art. I did not care. But I don't smoke weed anymore. So now it's like,
so now
I
care.
Yeah. I would just drink a few and I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Never drink and draw. What a mentor once told me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. I used to spray paint a lot.
Did you?
Really weird. Yeah. But like on
fun,
on big, I don't know, there was a cookie on my hand. but on like a big canvas, it was just like, it was weird. I don't know why I got into spray paint, but it just became fun. And I would make all kinds of weird things.
Yeah. I like that. It's pretty cool art, I think, with spray painting.
Now,
have you gone into painting as well, or do you mostly draw?
Yeah, no. When I went to art school, I started painting for the first time, and I loved it.
Really?
I'd always been intimidated. I tried to draw with the paint before that, and I didn't know what I was doing. But once I got to art school, it just opened up this whole world of painting.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Art Institute out here?
No, I actually went in Indiana, Heron School of Art.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. How did you end up there? In Indiana, out of all places. Because you were living here already, right?
Right. No, I went to college in Indiana.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
My mother actually lived in Indiana. My father lived out here.
I see.
Divorced.
Okay. They divorced and separated. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So you moved to Indiana for a while.
Yeah.
And you, did you like it there?
I liked a lot of the people. I wasn't so crazy about the state. It's flat and I missed the mountains.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know.
So you decided to come back to L.A.
I did.
Right. Yeah. Now, what did you go to school for? What did you graduate in?
From college?
Yes.
Well, I did go to art school. Before that, I was in pre-med, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
oh
you were
going
to go into medicine.
Yeah. I decided not to do that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I think I started shadowing some doctors and just realized it was not,
yeah.
not what
for
I
you,
hoped
huh?
it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's,
but the
it's
natural
pretty...
medicine is better.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm a big yeah. fan of natural medicine.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. So you were going to go into pre-med, but you came out with an art degree?
Did you get
an art degree?
Well, I didn't get a degree in the art. I finished with the art.
Right. Okay. So you got that sort of like, so pre-med was like your main career and this was like a backup, right?
It was more that I was... realizing I couldn't do the medicine, so
yeah.
I started over again. I went to art school,
yeah.
but I didn't need to do the full degree because I already had a degree.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. And it's good when you finally realize, you know, this is what I love to do. I might
right.
as well pursue that.
Yes.
I really wish that, and I did art school as well, but my parents wouldn't let me do it, and I actually got in trouble because I took all these classes that forced me to. But the only classes that I went to were my art and my dance and my theater, and I did go. My weather class because I liked astrology and weather.
You and I have so much in common.
And the rest I didn't go to, and then I got kicked out because, like, you know, I didn't go to the classes.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then that was a whole nightmare. And so I never finished college.
Yeah.
Because of it. So, but I love art, and like, and it's like it just sucks. I feel like. That if my parents had only just let me be what I wanted to be,
right.
you know, I would have been.
But it's
way
never
further.
Too late, Bridget.
No.
Start now, you know.
Well,
what
I have 2 months left for my homeopathy, so I'm fine.
Yay!
Yay!
All right. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. So, okay. So you moved back to LA, and then what happened? What did you decide you were going to do?
Well, I pursued my art and the shamanic work. I'd already been doing the shamanic work for.
So tell
about
us a little
years.
About that. When did that start?
I guess it was in 99, a teacher came across my path. I wasn't sure how to use these gifts that I have. I knew I had these abilities, but I didn't have a clue what to do with them or
right.
how I could harness them.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of put out a request internally for a teacher, and it was all this series of coincidences.
Really?
Interesting how
yeah.
the universe works, yeah.
Yeah. So I kept being introduced to these shamans who were from Peru, who were from that tradition, from the Inca tradition. And
that's so cool.
Yeah. And actually...
So you felt a connection to that?
I did, which is odd. I've never been a religious person, despite my upbringing. Maybe because of my upbringing.
Because yeah. of it, yeah.
Oh, I relate.
I mean, I've always loved many, many different paths. I've mm-hmm. been interested in many different spiritualities, and I never had a particular favorite. Maybe the indigenous ones,
mm-hmm.
the Native Americans and the Celts.
Yeah.
So, but this came out of the blue, and I felt a deep connection. It felt like going home.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It really did. So it's got to be a past life connection.
Probably, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like it, you know.
Like, but. You know. Like, it sounds like... I'm just introducing to him. All this stuff, so he's like, yeah, it's
just
totally
introducing
not.
Me. I mean, I'm already full of information. About
I this. Am trying.
Yeah. She is trying.
I am.
So you met these people from Peru?
They were taught through the Peruvian lineage. Actually, my mother introduced me to the woman who became my teacher, somebody she had taught with, Alberto Villoldo, also became a teacher of mine, and then there were various other teachers that I had from that lineage. And it, what it did, it gave me a framework. It gave me a language mm-hmm. for the abilities.
Right.
It gave me a framework to put it in and
that's
tools
true.
To use
like you
it.
Said, to harness it and be able to use it
right.
and
yeah.
utilize it.
Right.
Right. So, how long did it take to learn all this? Are you still learning? Probably.
I mean, it's
it never
we're
stops.
Always yeah. learning.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Never stops.
It wasn't until 2007, I believe, maybe 2006, I wasn't sure if I should use this learning for other people. I didn't know if I was ready. So I put out a request again internally and just said if this is meant to be, if this is in the highest good that I help others with it, then start bringing people to me. And within a week, somebody called me and said, I heard you do this. I wondered if you could help me.
Wow.
So
amazing.
Yeah.
So you were learning this for yourself, but at that point you weren't really doing anything for other people, right?
Informally I was. I was always doing readings for people. And
really?
Informally I was. I just didn't start to put out my shingle until
yeah.
then.
So and when did that happen? When did you decide finally, okay, I'm going to make a business out of it? Or
right. I'd say 2007, 2008, okay. somewhere in there was when it really started becoming a career, if you want to call it that. It's really a calling and a practice, but but taking money exchange for it.
Mm. And so many more people like nowadays are so like it's like everyone knows what. And back then I'm like people would be like shamanic healer, what does that mean? You know, isn't it like a Native American thing? And nowadays it's like oh yeah, oh my gosh, everyone I talk to is like oh I want to try that. I've heard that was awesome or I've done it or like wherever.
Yeah.
So
tell us what's a shaman? I mean for those people who don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's really just somebody with these abilities, but also then the training to go between the worlds, as they call it, between the dimensions, to be able to step outside of the 3D and on behalf of somebody else to help them heal a wound, track a wound, figure out what's going on, and be the intermediary.
Right. So you're saying this is like the oldest spiritual practice in existence today. When did this start, do you know?
I mean, I think it goes back as long as there have been humans.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there have always been people. And older traditions embrace it more. I think all the older traditions always had their shamans. It's in the contemporary society, we've sort of lost that, but now it's starting to come back.
Yeah.
Right. And when did this start? I mean, they usually associate this with Native Americans and India and things like that, right?
Well, like the Incans.
Or the Incans, right.
I mean, I would think, like, honestly, like a lot of major, like Incans, Mayans, Egyptians even had, like, their own, like,
And the Japanese. And the Celts. I think it was all of the religions or all of the traditions back when there was a more mystical connection or earth-based spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Back in the days of like Merlin, you know Merlin was real. No,
really?
I'm serious. Merlin was real.
Uh-huh.
Like yeah, exactly. So like back in those days, like what was he? You know.
The druids are the same thing. They're the shamans of that culture.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what do I know?
I don't know.
So, so you decided to actually help other people. And so tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. I mean, why is Brigetta so crazy about you, for example? What makes her so
You'll
great?
You'll have to ask Brigetta.
Yeah. What makes her so great, Brigetta?
It was just absolutely incredible. Like, I mean, I've been doing a lot of, like, self-discovery a lot recently. And I've always botched up or had weird relationships. Like I always felt like it just ended I don't know. Like I was always looking for approval. Like I thought it was a daddy issue. And I'm like always because he was not there and I just thought of like, oh, I just need approval like all the time. And then would get really like down and out when things wouldn't work out. I would just do anything for someone to make it work. And then I would just I would be so upset and devastated because it wouldn't. And like I put everything into it and I didn't understand why and I thought everything was my fault and like just whatever, like stuff like that. And so going and I've been told like bits and pieces from like other psychics before, like what I went through. And I'm like, I don't know about that. That doesn't connect with me. No, that's not true. And then when she worked on me, a lot of it came up and she said it again, like the issues that I had. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I'm listening because all these other people said it, so it must be true. And then one of those incidences she was describing, I like knew it. Like I was like there and I knew it. And it's weird because I think I know who like the mother was in that situation, which is even I'll explain later.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy. And so like it was a huge shift. And afterwards, like I just felt way better. But then I realized like everything in my life, like I've like never been so free. Like I've always felt like, I don't know, even as a kid, like, you know, I was happy and I had fun and I was always in trouble doing stupid things. But it was like I was always seeking this like adrenaline. I do that. I'm an adrenaline junkie, but I'm always like seeking something to like, I don't know, kind of like, I can't explain it. Like nothing ever satisfies me. Like I'm never, like I just need to constantly
never
like find.
Fulfilled.
Right. Like I just, and I never find like the extra happiness or whatever. And now like after this, I feel so free and so happy. And everyone I talk to is like, oh my gosh, you're like so different. And I'm like, yeah, who cares? Whatever. And like, it was really weird because my room, like I was rearranging my room that week. And I don't know if I told you this or not, but my room, oh my God, I destroyed everything in my room, not meaning to. I was like, I need to shift the energy in here. I don't like it anymore. It's not flowing right. And I do this every time like something happens. And so I'm rearranging the room and I have a 4-poster bed that's not connected to the bed. They're separate. And I have had them for years.
Right.
And they are very expensive and very nice. And they just move. You just push them. And given right. I am hop along and I'm pushing them. But they all literally fell. Boom, 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 boom. Snap, snap, crack.
Wow.
All the wood. And I'm like, and normally I would have cried and been like, oh my God, this was $10,000. Or like whatever. And just cried about it and like been really upset. And I looked at it and I was like, well, that sucks. <You know>? I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to keep rearranging the room. When it fell, it also knocked down all my photos off the wall. It ripped my Reiki thing like in half. It did a lot of things in the room. And I'm like, maybe I should move it back.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, is the universe saying move it back? Or should I just go through it? Because it doesn't want, it's like trying to stop me from the change. And I'm like, no, I'm going through it. And I pushed through it and my room feels so good now. I'm so glad I did it. Given my 4-poster bed is in pieces. But I'm like, it's fine. I'm just going to nail it back together and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's like this, I just didn't care. And like after that, I was like, oh, damn, I don't care. And even my roommate was like, wow, because he watched everything happen and he's like, he like ran back like thinking I'm going to explode and scream. And I was like, well, that sucks, you know? And he was like, oh my God, you're totally, I'm like, I know, yeah. I just don't really care.
Totally calm and
I
mellow.
Don't, yeah, I just don't care. It's whatever, it doesn't matter. I'll fix it if I need to. Like, I just don't care yeah, anymore yeah. about like stupid meaningless things that once meant I clung to for whatever reason.
Right.
I just don't care. Right. Like, it doesn't, so what? Oh well. Like, my car got smashed in. That sucks. It's still drivable. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, well.
That's the way to do it. You know? I'm like that, too. I used to be like explode, you know? And every little thing, a guy would cut me off. I would be, like, flying off yeah. the handle and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Today, I'm just so
bad.
Much mellower, you know?
Yeah, I just don't. And I don't smoke weed. You do.
Shut up.
But I mean, for me, it was like, I mean, I've been working on that a long time, but I was always like, I had like so much like pelt up energy and anger in something in me. And I would go from like bursts of like crying to screaming like back in the day. And I didn't understand why. Like I'm Italian, so I had a temper, you know, I would, right. when I got mad, you run. And 20 minutes later, I'm fine and I'm over it. And we're best friends again because I get over things really quickly, but I would explode and it would like literally ruin me. And I've been working on that for years, yeah. you know.
It's hard to live like that, man. It's hard.
Yeah. Know? And people are peeking in the station, so I'm waving back. I don't know who that is, but okay. Maybe they're listening out there. But
she's another host.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
But yeah, I just, so like after this, it was like a huge shift and everyone's noticing like, I just don't, like I lost my camera, like my expensive camera, and I needed to shoot something the other day. And so I was like, you know what? I need to clean out my closet anyway. So instead of crying about it, like I would have been like, where's my camera? Someone stole it. Oh my God, it's lost forever. Like that's what I used to say. I clean out the whole closet. I threw away like bags and bags of clothes. Still didn't find the camera. I'm like, maybe I'll clean out the car. Clean out the car. Threw bags of clothes away. Like get Goodwill. And then I still didn't find the camera. And then like last night I was like, well, it's got to be somewhere. If I'm supposed to have it, it'll come back. And then I open up the closet and it was right there.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's weird.
That's amazing that you cleared out so much stuff. That's really symbolic.
Is it? Yeah. I feel like so much
very
better.
Cleansing.
Yeah. Completely. And then even like that, the whole like breakup situation, like I, you know, I'm still like upset about it. More of the fact that like, I can't believe that I wasn't apologized to. Like, I can't believe I was lied to in that sense. And that sucks. And it still I mean, it hurts, but it's not as like I was done. I'm like, I'm done. I need to go confront him right now. I need to tell him I know everything. And I had to get out of my head. Like, it was, I had to release it.
Right.
And everyone's like, I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, nope, I've got to like I'm done. Bye-bye. You know, like, see you later.
And then you felt a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, amazingly. Like, I don't feel held down anymore. Like, nothing holds me down.
Right.
And that's how I didn't realize I used to, like, live like that. I used to felt like something was holding me back. Something was holding me down. I had, like, chains on me, and I wasn't happy.
Right.
And I am happy. Like, yeah. I just feel, like, so
that's
much free.
That's important, yeah.
And it's, like, the whole, like, I don't search for approval from people. Like, another thing, too, is I used to think, like, you know, I would meet people that I liked, you know, as far as like guys, and I would be like, oh, well, I'm not good enough for that. Like, I would actually think that
really?
And in my head, which is so stupid. And now I look at them, like the people that, and I'm like, what are you talking about? That's yeah. so, like, what a dumb thought, you know? And yeah, it was like, I didn't, my confidence, like, wasn't there. And now I'm just, I don't care. Yeah. If you don't like me, then bye. Sayonara.
Yeah.
You know? So it's been a huge shift for me because I feel free. Like, for once, like, my soul feels free.
Right.
And I've always been a person where, like, I can't make plans or commitment because I can commit to relationships. Like, that I'm all in, you know? But when it comes to, like, plans for something, maybe. Like, if you would make a plan for, like, Monday. Yeah, we'll see. I can't be concrete because I can't be controlled. I would go insane.
Yeah.
Like, no, I can't. And then actually come down to it, and then I wouldn't go on purpose because I didn't want to go because you made me go. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
So, and now I'm like, whatever. And
you've matured a little bit too, you know?
But it's only been a week or 2 weeks, so it's a big
You've matured.
Yeah, it's since the session, I'm saying. So
really? Wow.
It's like been a big deal. It's been huge. And I finally, like, am making plans with friends and, like, doing them, you know, and being like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this. And it's feeling, like, great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So anyway, for me, it was a huge shift. Like, totally traumatic. And I, like, traumatically good difference. I mean, dramatically. That's the word.
Right.
let me have another, please. I'm kidding. But yeah, so it's been awesome and amazing. And I say that everyone should.
How did you guys meet?
Through Christina, through Liberate Emporium.
Christina Dam, okay.
Yep.
And so how do you know Christina? Do you work there at her thing, or do you work with her?
Yeah, I do some freelancing there. I am on the board there. I say the board, where she has the practitioners written up with what they offer. So I just approached her one day, and I liked her shop, and I said, hey, I do this work. Would you want me to work at your shop sometimes?
Right.
And so we did a trade so she could see what I do. And
Sounds good. So tell us about some of the things that you do. I mean, Brigetta was describing some of it, but from your perspective, why do people come to you?
Well, I'd say, like, given Brigetta's session, for instance, it's not just a reading. I mean, she's had that information given to her before about what was causing the wound. But I think the difference is that when I'm in that space, I call it a morphic space, because it's almost like our energy bodies merge. I'm not really sure scientifically what happens, but it's this morphic space, and the old wound, the energetic debris of that wound actually gets cleared out.
Mm.
That's what we're doing during the session, is clearing out the energy debris.
Mm.
So it materially clears out of the body.
Right, and that's like specific things that people come to you about, like, you know, pain or
sometimes.
Whatever.
Sometimes it's vague. Sometimes they don't know what they need. They just know they're not fully happy in their life.
Like, I had no idea. Yeah. I had no clue.
Yeah.
It's like, just go with it.
Right.
So it's not just physical things, but you find out also about, like, relationships, emotions.
Yeah, very much.
And thoughts and things
like
that.
In fact, I'd say it's more on that level.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So people come to you, they're stressed out, they're depressed, whatever. What do you do? What do you do with them?
Well, I open sacred space, and I actually prefer to work by phone. It helps me go into that morphic trance space without being distracted.
Mm.
And I enter that space, and to describe how I go into that space, I'm not sure. It's that ability that I was born with that I don't really know how to put into words. I'm able to go into that morphic space with the person, where I can feel what's happening in them. It's almost like I merge with them.
Right.
I can feel what's happening with them, and I'm guided. I feel presented with what their wound is. It presents itself to me, and oftentimes with information, but it comes up as energy that I can feel, and as it's moving through, I'm helping it to clear out. I'm dissolving it. I'm clearing it, and then toward the end, a lot of times it comes through as very physical sensations, physical pain moving through, and a lot of times the way that it feels coming through gives information about the wound itself.
Right.
And I'll see glimpses of images, and I'll usually tell the person if I see things, because that helps their mind connect to it and integrate.
Right.
And toward the end, I can feel when it's starting to shift, because it feels like little fingers of light and bliss coming in, and that means it's integrating. It's integrating. The person is absorbing all the wisdom from that experience,
right.
from that wound experience. They're absorbing the wisdom and the knowledge, but able to release out what they don't need anymore. So it's like digesting food. You take in the nourishment and you release out the rest.
I see.
Oh, yeah, and another two other weird things that I totally forgot to tell you. So I've always had this thing. This is going to sound weird. But, like, okay, so right here, like, where, like, your bra would be in the middle of, like, your heart bone, you can't touch me there, ever. Like, I just don't
really?
Ever. No, I don't. Mm-mm. And I even feel, I feel, like, exposed, or, like, even, like, jewelry, I'm, like, moving it. Like, don't.
Really?
I just can't. Mm-mm. It's really weird. Even when I'm sleeping, if I feel like I'm laying out, like, I have to, like, curl up and turn over. And I never knew what that was. It was, like, I always thought maybe I was stabbed, like, a couple times in the heart in past lives. I don't know. Mm. That's kind of gone away. And the other thing, which is really weird, I totally forgot about this, which is totally random. I don't know if this normally happens or not. But, and yeah, I've lost weight, but, like, I've been working out for a long time, and the scale would never change. And I couldn't figure out for the past 2 years what was going on. This is like, this is retarded. And I would see, like, my body, like, get in shape, but, like, the scale would not change. And I'm like, this is very frustrating, because I could literally drop easily.
Right.
I got on the scale yesterday because I was just curious, and it's way lighter, and it's, like, where I used to be. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened, but, like, 2 weeks ago, this was not the case.
Wow.
And I'm not working out. I can't, because my foot is, like, you know, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing anything. And I've dropped, like, literally over 10 pounds.
Wow.
That does make sense. That does happen. A lot of times when we have wounds that we're holding on to and we don't feel safe, we do put on extra weight. There's something about the physical body, that extra tissue, that helps us feel protected from incoming energies.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe that makes sense, too, because, like, I'm super sensitive.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Definitely.
So can you pretty much, I don't know if cure, but maybe treat anything that traditional medicine can?
It really depends on what the person's highest good is. Sometimes people have issues that they need on a soul level. They've made a contract to experience something for their own growth.
Right.
And I don't interfere with that. I don't override their highest good.
Right.
So I'm really obeying what their soul plan is. I'm listening to that during the session, and I don't override that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I mean, how long does it take to? So you usually spend like an hour with someone, couple hours.
Usually a couple hours.
Couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a couple hours.
So
that's cool.
So you did this with her, right?
It was amazing. And like I said, all this transformation happened over the phone. So it's not like, you know, people feel like they have to be in person and you don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you channel through the phone too.
Well, it's non-local. The level that we're working at is the level of the energy body. Mm-hmm. So it's non-physical. It's not local.
It doesn't matter where it is.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, it's easier for me to go into that space over the phone because I'm not distracted by the physical social aspect. It's the social aspect that kind of makes it take a little longer for me to go into that trance space.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you go into any of those spiritual places like in India and things like that? All these exotic places or...
I haven't been to India yet. Yeah. I've wanted to go my entire life.
Really?
I have not yet been there.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be very
I don't think you miss it alive. But
I know it will be, I did visit China. I had a real mystical experience in a temple there, a Buddhist temple.
Really?
The Jade Buddha temple.
Oh, wow.
It was
happened there?
I can't explain it. I was just overcome with this pure bliss, transcendent joy. It was making me cry.
Really?
In fact, the person I was with, he wasn't even spiritual, but he was crying too. We just stood there transfixed.
Wow.
It was, everybody was feeling it. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, so tell people how they can find you, how they can get a hold of you.
Sure.
Yeah, what it takes.
They can reach me by email, jan@janzoya.com. They can visit my website, and they can also send me a message through my website.
Right. It's janzoya.com, Z-O-Y-A.
J-A-N-Z-O-Y-A.
Right. Very simple.
Yeah.
And you've got stuff there on the shamanic healing and all sort
I
of
do.
Things like
now,
that.
Now, the janzoya.com is my art portion of the website.
Okay.
To reach the shamanic portion of the website, they'd put a backslash shamanic medicine.
Okay. Shamanic medicine. There you go. And there's a lot of wealth of information here, you know, that explains it a little bit, I think, and so forth. So you've been doing this, what, for several years now,
I'd
right?
I'd say 5 years now.
5 years.
Mm-hmm. Are professionally.
You getting, do you yeah. feel you get better at it all the time?
Or? I do. I keep learning. Every session teaches me more, and life keeps teaching me more, too. Yeah, and I'm constantly trying to learn more through meditation and through my own communication.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I guess I have a question, too. Like, so if you were, let's say, like, you meet somebody and you were like, okay, I feel like they need a healing. I mean, can you, do you have to have someone's permission to
do it? I
do. Okay. Because I don't know, me, I would be like, well, I'm just going to help this person. I'm going to help this person. That
right.
person needs some over there.
Right.
You know? But I guess you would have to because it's a different
right.
level. So.
Although one thing I do sometimes is I will just say, hey, I happen to do this work.
Okay.
I let them know that I do the work.
Yeah.
But I don't say, hey, I think you need to be healed.
Yeah.
Because really, that's the person's business. And,
yeah.
and they may... need
not
to be
ready.
Where they are. They may need to be there for a while.
Yeah.
It's not up to me.
So what kind of issues do people come to you about?
Gosh, all sorts.
Everything, huh?
Relationship, just feeling stuck, sometimes with physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the thing with physical issues, well, and anything in specifically that they come to me for, I have to still obey their soul. I follow where it leads me. They can set the intention. That's very important that they set the intention of what they want to heal.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we go in, it will direct us to where that person needs to heal first.
Mm-hmm. I see. Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but so do you like totally not believe in traditional medicine, or do you think everything can be healed?
I mean, I think traditional medicine has its place. And for sure with people who believe in it and trust it and aren't open to other methods, I think they need that.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with a person's beliefs.
Right.
And
yeah.
what they'll allow.
Yeah. That's what I think, too. You know, I mean, with spiritualism and everything, or spirituality and all that, you know, people, they need to want this, you
mm-hmm.
know. They need
yeah.
to believe in this.
They do, but I will say, like, I'm so glad... The medicines that I were on for Lyme were the ones that kept me in the hospital, in and out, in and out, in and
really?
Out. And I got worse and worse and worse. And it came to a point where I was like, I can't live like this. This is ridiculous. I'm not coming to get saline, you know, put in my blood system because I was always dehydrated every other day. This is like so stupid.
Right.
Like I'm not taking the medicine anymore. Oh, well. And so I stopped. And then I went into like the natural holistic side and I'm fine. I'm cured. I'm done. I don't have it.
Right.
And then I look at my girlfriend and I've had it since I was 13, by the way. And, but what was weird is it never affected me until, I was like, I don't know. I was going through a hard time in my life and then it just came out, which is weird. But anyway, my girlfriend from the same neighborhood as me, same age as me, still has Lyme and is bedridden and can't get out of her bed and has been there for a couple years.
Wow.
And I'm like, you want to try, you know, you want to get off your meds?
Mm.
No, I can't. Like people think that it's like a crutch. Like they don't,
right.
they're just not open and they're scared. And it's like, it's just sad because back in the day before there were all these medicines per se and all these like huge corporations that like shove things in your body. What were we? We were taking, it was Native American, taking mm-hmm. medicines from the earth and like everything
right.
was natural. It developed into a mass corporation to make tons of money and make you sicker and sicker and sicker so you can get more and more and more pills.
Yeah, well, that's sometimes. But I mean, I think medicine has its place and I think it does a lot of great things.
I think
you know?
For some antibiotics, maybe. But I mean,
no, but like with surgery and you know and things like that.
Surgeries,
you know,
if they're needed,
treatments.
Fine.
And,
but I mean, yeah. I'm living proof that I didn't need surgery when I tore my meniscus and I went to a natural healer who doctors were like, I was going to get surgery. Mm-hmm. And I went back. I went to a healer, a telekinetic healer, and he healed me. And I went back to the doctor and they're like, we don't know what happened. Wow. Did you get surgery? And I'm like, do you see any marks on me? No. Mm. And it was my knee. And they're like, what did you do? I'm like, I went to a healer. And they were like, they couldn't believe it. And they were like, what? So, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I think it's, no, you can absolutely, you don't need any of that kind of medicine. But then again, like, I mean, I get it if you're like deathly ill and you need it to jumpstart, and then you can wean yourself off totally fine. But if you're like stuck living it as a crutch, good luck, because you're not going to be living much longer.
Yeah. Well, Jan Zoya, well, we are out of time. I'm sorry. We can spend another hour on this, I'm sure. But everybody go to janzoya.com/shamanicmedicine. And if you want to contact her and for a healing or session, whatever, you can. And then you obviously don't have to be here physically in LA. Right. You can do it by phone.
Absolutely.
And sort of thing.
And anywhere in the world. And you guys, honestly, like, it's a huge transformation. So do it.
Yeah. Well, if Brigetta says so.
I say so.
Yeah, we believe everything you say.
We should.
Yeah, we accept it.
I don't lie, so there you go. I'm a really bad liar. I tried that one last night. Every time I tried to lie, I would laugh. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to say one lie and one truth. And then I would try and lie, and I'm like, my feet are green. Start like laugh. I can't do it. I can't lie. Yeah, it's bad.
That's cool. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.